Thank you, Joy, and thank you, Zan. Wow, what a beautiful story. My name is Michael, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Glad to be here today. And thanks to the TSW team for putting this program together. I love this topic of change. And as Joy has said, I've had a pretty significant physical change, releasing 190 pounds. But today I want to say a few words about changing my mind and how affirmations and how acting as if, and of course, my higher power helped me make that change. This story starts about 4.5 years ago. It was December of 2016, and I had just come back into the OA program after a long relapse. I was working the program. I jumped right in. I got a sponsor. I was doing the steps and all of that. And then I started working out at a gym, and I got a trainer at a gym here in Tucson. Her name was Mary. And Mary did what all good trainers do. She pushed me, she nudged me, which at times was annoying, kind of like a good sponsor, right? And somebody said, if I'm your sponsor and I never annoy you, I'm probably not doing my job. So I'll never forget the first time Mary annoyed me. I was on the elliptical machine and she was standing on the floor beside me, and I'm striding away, minding my own business. You know, an elliptical is the thing that goes like this, you know, and she reaches up to the dashboard and grabs the little resistance lever, and it was set at 8, and she starts clicking it up to 9, then to 10, and then all the way up to 14. And then, as if that weren't enough, she says, now, Michael, when I say go, I want you to go all out as hard as you can, as fast as you can for 1.5 minutes. And she took out her stopwatch and said, I'll time you and I'll tell you when to stop. Now, she didn't pause to ask me what I thought about this idea. She just said, on your mark, get set, go. Now, my first thought was, okay, 90 seconds, no problem, I can do that. And for the first little bit, I was okay. But then I thought, my God, the time must be up, right? But Mary hadn't said stop, so I had to keep going and going. And I know you'll understand me, you have had this experience too, I know you'll understand me when I tell you that 90 seconds felt like forever. It's crazy, it's irrational, but I tell you, it felt like forever. And that's the first time Mary annoyed me, but it wasn't the last. From that day on, every time I worked out with her, which was 3 times a week, she had me do the same thing. And here's the thing. Immediately, a fear, an irrational fear began to develop. I knew it was irrational right at the beginning. I'd be in my car driving to the gym, and suddenly I'd think elliptical, you know, just like this big balloon floated in front of my eyes. And then, as I got out of the car and as I started walking to the door, I wasn't even inside yet, and I'd be thinking elliptical. That's so weird. I mean, the reluctance and the fear was totally irrational, because here's the thing. While I was on the machine, I was not in pain. When I got off the machine, I was not in pain. In fact, I remember thinking to myself, I'm not even uncomfortable. A little winded maybe, but that's about it. So this is really strange. So the next obvious question was, if you're not in pain, Michael, if you're not even uncomfortable, why the fear, right? Why the reluctance? Luckily, our program has an answer to that question. I'm so glad Zan held up her big book. In the big book, it talks about the magic magnifying mind. And it's the principle that whatever we focus on grows. It could be rational or irrational, doesn't matter. Your mind magnifies it. Could be true or false. It could be healthy or unhealthy. It doesn't matter. Whatever the mind focuses on, the mind magnifies. And that's just what was happening to me. No, I'm glad I was back in the program at the time. And because I was abstinent and because I wasn't in a food fog, my mind was just clear enough to be conscious, clear enough to notice the fear, and I wanted it to change. I wanted to change my mind. But how? That was the question. I had heard this slogan, act as if. I'd heard it in meetings and I'd read it in the literature. In fact, the other day, I did a quick search on act as if in OA literature, and here's what I found. This is one of the miracles of e-books. It literally took me less than 5 minutes, and I searched 10 books, including the Big Book, the OA 12 and 12, the Brown Book, For Today, Voices of Recovery, plus 5 more books. And in those 10 books, the phrase act as if occurs 68 times. And that's just the exact words, act as if. The concept, act as if. It did take a lot longer to do that search, but my point is, act as if is everywhere in the literature. Here's one example. It's in the OA 12 and 12. It's, our basic book. And it's in the chapter on the seventh step where we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. I'm going to share my screen so as I read, we can all read together. Let me just share my screen. Yeah, this is from the OA 12 and 12, second edition, pages 54 and 55. Often when we are shown actions that we are to take as each defect is being removed, for instance, we may visualize ourselves as the people we will be when we no longer have each particular defect. How will we think and act? We may find it helpful to rehearse what we'll say and do, and that's the interesting word. It's like act as if, it's an acting, theatrical metaphor here. We may find it helpful to rehearse what we'll say and do. Sometimes we may be caught off guard and fall back into the defective patterns. I love this sentence, but if we persist in visualizing and practicing better ways of life, they will, with our higher power's help, eventually become second nature. I like that. Not they might. It would be good if they did. They will, with our higher power's help, and that's the key phrase there, eventually become second nature. So that's just one example. That's how we make the change. That's the act as if principle. We visualize how we be without the character defect, and then we start rehearsing, acting that way, acting as if the change had already been made. That's one example, but there's another one, and it's a really good one. It's in Roseanne's story. You know Roseanne, the co-founder of our OA program. I read her story the other day. I'd read it before, but it's a great story. She tells how self-hatred had dominated her life. And she said, my heart was clouded with self-hate. How do you like that? I'm looking out my window at an almost completely clouded Tucson sky. And she said, my heart was clouded with self-hate. But then she heard an OA speaker, this is back in 1978, she heard an OA speaker talk about how she had raised her self-esteem by taking one simple action. The speaker said she looked in a mirror and that she had said to herself, you're okay. Remember this story? And Roseanne thought, that's easy, I can do that. But she couldn't. She tried. She tried several times, but she could not look in the mirror and say those simple words, Roseanne, you're okay. In fact, every time she tried, you remember what happened? Yeah, she cried. Every time she tried to say, Roseanne, you're okay, standing in front of a mirror, she cried. Now, that's not the end of the story, thank God. Let's read what happened next. I'll share my screen again so you can follow along. This time it's from the Brown Book, Overeaters Anonymous, the Brown Book. We're starting on page 19. Hang on just a minute. And this is from pages 19 and 20. Thelma was her sponsor. had taught me to act as if. She told me that I didn't have to want it, like it, or believe it. Just take the action, Thelma urged, and the feelings will follow. Acting as if it were true, I practiced telling myself, Roseanne, you're okay. Unable to look at myself in the mirror, I said this phrase all day, every day for 6 months. Think about that. All day, every day for 6 months. Then one December evening, I was dressed for a party. In a hurry to leave, I paused briefly to check myself in the hall mirror before rushing out the door. Then I stopped suddenly and looked at myself. I smiled and said, Roseanne, you're okay. You are one fantastic lady, and I love you. Now watch what she says next. After practicing for 6 months to be able to say, Roseanne, you're okay, she said, that wondrous feeling has remained with me. To this day, evidence of God's work in my life. I'm a crier too. I love that story. Roseanne went from crying to smiling. She went from saying, Roseanne, you're okay, which by the way is a pretty mild, unambitious affirmation, wouldn't you agree? Roseanne, you're okay. But she said it, and then she went on to say, Roseanne, you're one fantastic lady, and I love you. She had never rehearsed that before, but that's what she said, standing there in front of the mirror. When I read that story, I said, okay, Roseanne, if you can do it, maybe I can do it. And that's when I wrote this affirmation. With God's help, and all my affirmations begin with God's help, because I never want to forget. I never want to forget. With God's help, I am an athlete. The strain of rigorous exercise makes me smile. On the elliptical, striding at max capacity, I smile and pray, thank you, God, for giving me energy. I'm laughing because, because when I first wrote it, it was so preposterous. And I said that affirmation every day for a long time. I don't know how long, weeks and weeks. And here's the thing, it wasn't true. It was, in fact, the opposite of true. I was not an athlete, believe me. I was like Zan on the couch. I mean, the thought of giving up, make a cup of coffee, you know, I would take a pass. I was not an athlete. And when I was on the elliptical striding at max capacity, I was not smiling. I was not thanking God for giving me energy. In fact, I felt like energy was being stolen from me, like I was being robbed of energy. But I kept saying it, in spite of the objections in my head, just like Roseanne, I kept saying it every day for I don't know how long, many, many weeks. And then one day, and you know how these stories end, right? One day I was at the gym. Mary stood where she always stood, did what she always did, got out the stopwatch and said, go. And I did what I always did. I went all out. And then suddenly, as I was striding at max capacity, right, I noticed something on my face. On my face. A smile. And I hadn't tried to smile. In fact, it took me a while to realize that I was smiling. But I was smiling. Now, here's the thing. Mary didn't see it from where she was standing. She couldn't see my face. And I didn't tell her, not right away anyway. And you know why? Because I was thinking, maybe this is a fluke. Maybe this is a one-off. I didn't know. I had no idea. So I didn't say anything. But you know something? It wasn't a fluke. I kept smiling. And that is how I learned the power of affirmations, the power of acting as if. It had worked for Roseanne, and thank God, it looked like it was working for me. Now, I didn't stop saying the affirmation. I kept saying it every day, but now with a new energy, right? With God's help, I am an athlete. The strain of rigorous exercise makes me smile. On the elliptical, striding at max capacity, I smile and pray, thank you, God, for giving me energy. And then I begin to think about other changes I'd like to make. Isn't that just like human beings? I mean, you win the bronze medal and immediately you think, I want the silver, right? And if you win silver, you think gold, right? So I thought, Michael, if you can make this change, in the space of just a few months, if you can went from dreading a thing to loving that same thing, not just accepting it, but loving it, if that's possible, what else is possible? And then I thought, is anything impossible? What about, Michael, what about your low self-esteem? What about your chronic jealousy? What about your chronic early morning anxiety that darkens every single day until you shake it off and run it off or write it off or pray it off? So guess what? I'd written one affirmation, so I began writing affirmations about those defects too, an affirmation that turned the jealousy inside out, an affirmation that turned the anxiety inside out, and then I acted as if those prophecies had come true. And they did come true, or they began to come true. And as they began to come true, I kept writing, I just kept going. And I started with one affirmation and now I have several, I don't know how many. And I still say them 5 days a week. I say them in my car, in the early morning, on the way to the gym. That's my routine. Now I want to say it's not perfect. I haven't done them perfectly and some were easier than others. And here's the most important part. Some still haven't come true. This is 5 years later, and some still haven't come true. I just need to say that. But I think it was Anne mentioned, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, right? But then what's the next big word? Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, they will always materialize. If we work for them. And I'll tell you, my friends, I hang on to always. For my abstinence, for my sponsorship, for my sanity, and for these affirmations that are coming true. Now I just want to close with a story, a little update. So that elliptical story started in December of 2016. Now, fast forward 3 years, and it's October of 2019, and I'm away from home. I'm traveling. In fact, I'm at an OA event, the Region 3 Fall Convention in Las Vegas. By now, exercise had become a way of life for me. So when I arrived at the hotel, I checked in and then found the gym. That was my routine when traveling. Check in, find the gym. And so the next morning, early, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, I went to the gym. I walked in and it's empty. There's nobody there. So I turn on the lights and I head for the treadmill. They didn't have an elliptical. But then I thought, let's do this in the dark. So I went over and turned the light off. It was pretty dark. There was a little light coming in the window, but the shades were drawn. So it was pretty dark. I put on my headphones and I got my iPhone and I tuned it to a music station, a classical music workout station with a lot of, you know, big, you know, loud, fast music. And I began walking on the treadmill, slow, then faster. And in the darkness, I began to zone out. I began to lose all sense of the room around me. And then suddenly this music that I had never heard before, this powerful symphony started booming in my headphones with it, thunderous drumming, with this orchestra going all out, phenomenal music. The orchestra's going all out, I'm going all out, and then I start laughing. It was like, whoa, it's like, whoa, and then, you know, I'm jogging along and shouting at the top of my lungs when all of a sudden, into this pitch dark room, this bright flash of light. Can you imagine what it was? I turned and looked, and there, standing in the doorway, there's this big, bulky guy with a big flashlight, and he's shining it right at me, you know, and he kind of sweeps the rest of the room with it, and then he says, "Are you okay?" And I couldn't really see him very well, but I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And he said, "Okay," and turns and goes out. And the door closes after him, and that was that. And I stood there thinking, oh my God, he's a security guard. There's probably a camera in here and a microphone too. They sent security to check up on me. And I felt really silly. And I was still sort of in some kind of a shock from this rude awakening. But later, back in the hotel room, I thought about the changes that had been happening to me for years now. With God's help and with the power of affirmations, with the power of acting as if, that smile 3 years ago, that first smile in the gym in Tucson, it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a one-off. Something like a new habit had been formed. My life pattern had changed. Why? My mind had changed. And in those 3 years, I went from smiling in Tucson to shouting in Vegas, shouting so loud they had to send security to check up on me. So I'm grateful this morning. You know what? This program works. I am so grateful for this program, and I am grateful for change. And I want to say thank you, Roseanne, and thank you, dear God. Amen.